Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, if you listen to Donald Trump in the final debate, you'd think everything was grand. Just peachy. Everything's great. The economy's just great. Never mind those millions of people who are unemployed. Never mind the millions of people who are uninsured, even though he was out there heavily touting the employer-based healthcare system that they love to keep throwing. Everyone loves their employer-based healthcare. Never mind them. And never mind the fact that things aren't great. Never mind the fact that older workers are facing unemployment at a much higher rate than younger workers for the first time in, well, since they've been keeping records. We also find out that women are being unemployed at a higher level than men for the first time since, well, I guess early to mid 1960s. Something definitely amiss in here to share some thoughts on where we are with the economy and where things are going. I've asked Diana Bosch to come talk with us. She's a policy analyst with the Women's Initiative at the Center for American Progress. Diana, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So did you happen to see the big debate?
I did, yes.
And everything's great, isn't it?
So according to Trump, yes.
Before we get into all this stuff, did you see anything in that moment where Donald Trump looked at women and said, you know what, you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I saw Donald Trump lying. I saw him just blatantly ignoring the facts and the economic statistics about how this country is doing right now. We're in the midst of one of the biggest recessions in our history, and in fact, the worst recession ever for women. So I think, you know, the facts are out there, and this is not a great situation for women, and we need to be paying attention to that.
Now, you guys have a piece out, the shambolic response to the public health and economic crisis has women on the brink as job recovery stalls. Why are women in this economy being hit harder than they were in past economies? I know, like in the past, in the Bush collapse of 2008, women saw a lower unemployment rate than men because, you know, a lot of the jobs that women were doing at the time were, we're much more needed, I guess, taking care of our elderly, service jobs that have to be done. Why is this different?
That's a great question. And it's actually because this is the first recession where service sector jobs in restaurants and at shopping, clothing stores are the jobs that we've actually lost. Previous recessions have been production, manufacturing jobs are the first to go. And because of the nature of the coronavirus, we can't be in person. We can't be in person indoors gathering. Service sector jobs have been the hardest hit. And the majority of people who perform service sector jobs are women. And so that's why you're seeing, for the first time ever, since the Bureau of Labor Statistics started gathering data on women in 1963, this is the first time that we've ever seen women lose more jobs than men.
And could that give us some insight into why another stimulus plan hasn't come around? I mean, it's curious to me, and maybe you've got some insight that I don't have. It's curious to me that when the Democrats are telling Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, saying, here, take anything you want. We're going to give you basically a blank check to prop up the economy so that you look good for the election. It's curious to me that they haven't taken it. Could it be that maybe, I don't know, but that it would benefit women more than men?
I can't speak for them. I don't know why something hasn't been done. Since a lot of the early relief packages in the spring, a lot of those benefits expired over the summer, and workers and their families are the ones suffering. I know there have been some negotiations that have been attempted in Congress, and I'm not sure the reason that they haven't, been able to pass something. But in the meantime, women are the ones suffering. They're the ones who've yet to gain jobs back. I mean, since before the recession, there are still 5.8 million fewer women who are employed. They are still bearing the burden of caregiving with children at home. And so they need those relief packages. They need unemployment benefits and stimulus and food stamps and everything else. And so it's actually a shame, really, to see that there's not been significant action from the Trump administration or Republicans in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this and, the caregiving aspect of things is something that I've talked about for years, that, we need to have a way to address, you know, our needs. We need someone to care for our elderly. We need someone to care for our children. And this pandemic has just, you know, highlighted the fact that we've failed all along and that we're in a crisis moment. And it's now falling again onto those who can least shoulder the burden.
You're totally right. And I mean, before the pandemic, we were asking women to juggle both work and caregiving. Women have always taken care of their families. They've done the majority of childcare, of housework. And we were asking them before the pandemic to make it work, find the balance, right? Without providing any sort of paid sick days or paid family medical leave or affordable childcare. And then the pandemic hit and everything fell down because we didn't have the policies in place from the beginning to actually support women and to support people with family caregiving responsibilities.
Yeah,
but so that's what we need now.
No, you're right. But what do you say to the person who goes, come on, Diana, you know, the jobs you're talking about, those low wage service sector jobs, those are always going to be vulnerable. We're not talking about the high skilled, high training, high education attained kind of jobs. They were able to do better, right?
In some aspects, potentially, yes, they could have transitioned to work from home. But what about that grocery store clerk? That job is essential. And low-wage work can be essential work, and we should reward it, and we should protect those workers. In fact, millions of workers across the country didn't have access to a single paid sick day before the pandemic hit. And we want those people to be serving us food and helping us at the grocery store. We need to be actually protecting those workers and valuing the work that they do by paying them a living wage and providing them the workplace protections and benefits that every worker deserves, especially those doing essential work.
Yeah, this is where me as a labor guy says that every person who lived through this pandemic and had to show up to work, as you've pointed out, without a paid sick day, without any ability to have any say in your workplace, in the environment, in the safety conditions that you endured, this is the moment where I would hope, and I'm still hopeful, we're going to see a mass of organizing of people demanding a voice on the job and pushing to unionize, because at the end of the day, unions are about wages, hours, conditions, the heavy part of it being conditions. And sadly, you know, as we've been talking about in the show for months, the conditions in many workplaces are deplorable.
Yes, definitely. And unions can go a long way to helping fix that problem, exactly as you said. But conditions are deplorable. Workers don't have the protective equipment they need. Employers can fire them if they don't show up to work when they're sick. We absolutely need unions, and we need policies that step in and actually give workers the protection that they deserve.
Yeah, you hit an important part there. If you don't show up to work, you get fired. And I heard Lindsey Graham and I heard all of the Republicans whining and complaining, well, we're giving an extra $600 a week to people who are unemployed. That means they're not going to go back to work. It either shows, one, that they're completely ignorant of how our system works, that if you refuse to go to work, you don't get to collect unemployment, or more likely, in my view, they know exactly how it works, is that this was just the punchline that they were using, the deception that they were using to convince other people that someone's getting something that they're not.
Yeah, you're totally right. There's lots of economic research out there that said that people, even if they were getting that $600 a week, it didn't disincentivize them from working. People want to go to work. They want to find meaning in their work. They want to provide for their families. I think work is valuable, but we need to actually pay people well enough and make sure that they're safe in the workplace and not, you know, tout these lies that people just want to stay home.
Yeah. Also, you guys write in your article, you know, basically what we already know of, you know, obviously women being heavily affected by this, but not all women equally, that there is a, you know, a disproportionate number of women of color who are impacted by this at a much greater rate. The vulnerable seem to always be much more vulnerable in these moments. Can you talk a bit about that? What your research found there?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that, in fact, women of color are on the front lines of this pandemic. They are doing the essential work, and they're also often segregated into low-wage jobs, you know, not by choice, but that's where they've been able to find work. And those are the jobs that, you know, they've lost employment since the pandemic began. There was actually a spike of unemployment right in April at the start of the pandemic, which was the worst month ever recorded for labor statistics. And Hispanic women had an unemployment rate of 20%. Black women and Hispanic women, even still in September, the last month that we have data for, they have an unemployment rate of 11%. That's 1 in 10 women who don't have a job but want one. And so we really need to think about the women of color who are doing this essential work and who are also the breadwinners for their family, right? They provide their family's financial security, and they don't have a job. And so we need to make sure that we're thinking about those women and ensuring that the policies are going to help them first.
Well, according to Donald Trump, he's been the best president for African Americans. He's, you know, since Abe Lincoln, you know, as Joe Biden backhanded him with, you know, Abe Lincoln over there.
Yeah, I don't believe that, and it's a pretty outrageous claim.
And that's not the only one. I mean, that's probably the least of the outrageous claims. But, you know, here's the weird thing. And the reason I bring Trump back into this is, you know, he makes all of these claims that there's never been a better president for blacks. There's never been a better president for women. There's never been a better president for anything, even though he's going to be the first president, well, at least in my lifetime, to leave office having a net loss of jobs. This pandemic was bad. It's horrible. But he was on the path of bad all along anyway. And one of the things as a labor guy that I look at was his destruction of Obama's overtime rule that could have raised the wages of a lot of people, you know, by millions of people for the work that they do, just by changing how we give employers the ability to consider workers salary exempt. And he destroyed part of what Obama did, and millions of women got left behind.
I am so grateful you brought that up. It's absolutely right. The Trump administration has hurt women left and right, and even before the pandemic started. This overtime rule that you mentioned, the Trump administration rescinded an overtime rule from the Obama administration that would have said anyone making under about $47,000 per year would have been eligible for overtime. The Trump administration rescinded that and lowered the threshold only to about $35,000. And they didn't tie it to inflation. And so it just is going to be stagnant for the future rather than increasing every year as costs and prices increase. And so that's just one way in which the Trump administration has really taken money out of the pockets of women and their families. He's also rolled back equal pay protection laws. It's just left and right. He's really not helped women.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look at this, and again, you know, we see all of the train wreck in front of us. We see the edict by tweet. You know, we see all of this chaos that's going around. But underneath, and this is where I keep telling the people, you know, look behind the curtain. You know, the Trump show is one thing. There's a lot of crazy there. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of distraction and diversion. The sad reality is the people that he's put into regulatory positions, the people that he's headed up his different cabinet positions, they are doing really, really destructive work. And you bring up the EEOC by ending the data collection on you know, equal pay. That is a huge harm to women in just knowing that they're getting cheated.
Absolutely. I mean, we know that the ratio of women's earnings to men has not changed for years. It's stayed around. Women earn about 82 cents on the dollar for every dollar a man earns. And that's just, part of that is just discrimination. But we don't actually have the data or the information. And what we were trying to do, or what the EEOC was trying to do by gathering data on equal pay, was really to try and understand the problem so we can address it and ensure that women are paid fairly. But Trump decided that that data was too onerous for businesses, unfortunately, and just rolled the rule back and has fought it in court.
Yeah, see, I can fix that problem. Again, I go back to, I'm a labor guy. I can fix that problem. I got a book on my desk. It's the contract that I have for my last place of employment. It lays out every aspect of my employment. Wages, hours, conditions, everything, grievance procedure, everything. It is completely transparent. There's no, hey, is that guy making more or less than I am? Or is that woman getting cheated? There's none of that. It's complete and open transparency. And for me, again, I go back to the role that unions play in our society of opening things up and making them completely transparent. To me, that's a beginning on how we solve this problem.
Absolutely. Unions can ensure fair pay. They can ensure overtime. They can ensure safe workplaces. They really have an important bargaining seat at the table to make sure that workers are valued the way that they deserve to be.
But, you know, it just doesn't end with the economic parts of it. You guys had written a piece not too long ago that I caught. You know, you're talking about sexual abuse on college campuses, the way, I guess, Title IX has been weakened. Also, you know, Title X family planning stuff. I mean, he's really, it's even not just about jobs and, you know, it's really about grabbing her by you-know-what.
Right. The Trump administration wants to harm women in all areas of their life, taking away their reproductive rights, reducing their access to health care. By trying to repeal the ACA, every single way in both the court and in regulations, the Trump administration is trying to harm women. And it's really honestly disappointing. And I think it's actually taken women's equality and women's progress in both the workforce and at home just back by decades.
So let's pull this around because, you know, we've got an election coming up very soon. And we've got all these problems are going to be there the day after the election. They're going to be here on January 20th at 12:01 p.m. When whoever the next president is, you know, what's the path forward? How do we fix this?
That's a great question. And I think, unfortunately, we might be still dealing with the coronavirus at that point. So I would say the first and most important thing that we have to do is we have to contain and control the virus. There's no way that we can even begin to think about the economy and helping women recover and helping families until we actually ensure the safety of all Americans and especially workers. So that means we need to have testing and contact tracing. We need to ensure that people wear masks. We need to protect workers in the workplace by providing them personal protective equipment, paid sick days, and then supporting businesses. We need to ensure that schools and childcare centers can reopen. And we need to ensure that workers can take care of their families, they have childcare and paid family and medical leave. I think it's a big task. I'm hopeful for the future, but we really do need to begin by getting the coronavirus under control and then taking really strong action to protect workers and to ensure that they can care for themselves and their loved ones.
There you go. That's a big start. And for me, at this moment, we should be passing a stimulus through to ensure that anyone who has to stay home and help their kids get through school or take care of a loved one gets paid. There's so much that we need to be doing. But Diana, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Great work you guys are doing there at the Center for American Progress. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good stuff. Diana Bosch, policy analyst there with the Women's Initiative at the Center for American Progress. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.